This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan alongside Richard Bradbury and Arlene Weber. This is Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah Dunia on the Evening Edition, our monthly program that seeks to, as the title suggests, chronicle a defining moment in world history. Yesterday, February the 9th, 2014, marked the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show, the beginning of what became known as the British Invasion.
The simple truth of the matter is that Beatlemania, as witnessed in New York City 50 years ago, just couldn't have happened today. We are far too connected. There's no longer any element of surprise. There's no longer any kind of unveiling.
In today's world, the Fab Four's frenzied Hamburg concerts would be all over YouTube. Twitter would be abuzz about the new group with the funny hair and the screaming fans. Countless cell phones would be raised in glory at their every move. There would be clips on Facebook and Vine. There would be blurry filtered photos on Instagram.
50 years ago, however, it was a revelation. On February the 9th, 1964, the Beatles made their US debut on The Ed Sullivan Show. Now, Ed Sullivan was a Sunday night staple, one of the great variety shows of the era, a TV version of vaudeville with comedians, acrobats, and song and dance acts.
Just who was Ed Sullivan? He was a baggy-eyed, straight-laced, stiff-bodied former newspaper columnist who looked a little bit like Richard Nixon. But he was the perfect host. He said his introductions and got out of the way.
Just telling the audience here in our theater they have a new suit. I got a Christmas present, and I trust it looks well. If it doesn't, if you call up, I'll run upstairs and change it for an old suit. We're going to open our show tonight with very excitingly, because here are the two great dancing stars of the country and of the world. I remember them up at the Cotton Club when they were so big, and first, the first time they went to the coast with their dad and mother, I gave them a letter of introduction to Fred Astaire. They were very touched because when they got out there, these two little boys, they went and visited Fred at MGM, and he took them into his cottage back, you know, on the lot, and he put on his records, and he did all of his dances for them, and then he said, now, fellas, you do, you two big fellas here, you do your dances for me. So I always thought it was a very nice index and a characterization of Fred Astaire, because he's always been nice. So tonight, we're going to take you up to Harlem, make-believe, up to the Shea George, where you'll find a, well, you could say a typical Cotton Club chorus line led by the widow of the late Bill Robinson, preparing the stage for the dynamic entrance of the Nicholas Brothers. So Ray Block, take it away.
His guests were stars, and he could book almost everybody thanks to his deep contacts. You might compare his show to an hour of web surfing. It featured everybody from plate spinners to comedians to theatrical performances to pop stars, all in one place, animal acts too.
Just how big was the Ed Sullivan Show? Just how much of a cultural influence? The show went on the air in 1948 and would last 23 years.
The nationally syndicated columnist of the New York Daily News, Ed Sullivan, and his Toast of the Town, named America's number one TV variety show.
It would change the landscape of American television. Sullivan's stage would be home to iconic performances by groundbreaking artists. You ain't nothing but a... Elvis Presley, Rolling Stones, The Doors, The Jackson 5, Supremes, Temptations, Richard Pryor, Rodney Dangerfield, George Carlin, Carol Burnett. The list who stepped on The Ed Sullivan Show stage goes on and on.
As for the Beatles, the story of how they landed on The Ed Sullivan Show began with the group's formation in Liverpool in 1960. They spent their first couple of years playing in small clubs throughout Europe, during late-night gigs in the city of Hamburg, Germany, sometimes playing as long as 8 hours a night. The Beatles perfected their act. However, it was not until an appearance on the British television show Val Parnell's Sunday Night at the London Palladium and the 1963 release of their first album, Please Please Me, that Beatlemania began to spread.
Last night I said these words to my girl.
The That March, the album hit number one on the British charts, and by the end of the year, the Beatles' music permeated UK radio. The Fab Four even performed for the royal family. It was only after this burgeoning success at home did the Beatles and their manager, Brian Epstein, choose to launch their American invasion. They decided when they had a number one song on the US charts, then they would lock in the date of their Ed Sullivan debut.
Now, were the Beatles unknown in America? Not completely. Ed Sullivan first encountered the band by accident. He was stuck at London's Heathrow Airport when they returned from Sweden to thousands of fans on October 31st. But the group was already on the show's radar before then. The Ed Sullivan Show put out a press release about the Beatles' three-show booking in mid-December, and the New Yorker ran a small item in its December 28, 1963 issue. The Beatles had also appeared in several US news reports.
In December, the band's US label Capitol Records started a marketing blitz. The Beatles are coming. And by January, their songs were all over the radio. I Want to Hold Your Hand hit number one in the United States on February 1st, dethroning balladeer Bobby Vinton's There. I've Said It Again. But for all that, the Beatles hadn't performed in America. With The Sullivan Show, they had one of the biggest stages in the country.
In many ways, the Sullivan appearance marked the beginning of a cultural revolution. The Foo Fighters' Dave Grohl perhaps said it best on the Grammys' red carpet. The Beatles, he observed, are the foundation of everything we do. After this, just how it all went down. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to our celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Beatles in America. This is Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah Dunia on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're listening to Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah Dunia on the Evening Edition with Richard, Arlene and Uma, our monthly program that celebrates a defining moment in history. Today, we're taking a look back at the Beatles in America.
Oh, I love this place, America. Ray Gunnell. The record's on radio. Lovely. Terrific it is, Elvis.
50 years ago, on the 9th of February, the Beatles made their first appearance on an American stage on The Ed Sullivan Show. A record-setting 73 million people tuned in that evening, making it one of the seminal moments in television history.
And last Sunday, on our show in New York, the Beatles played to the greatest TV audience that's ever been assembled in the history of American TV.
It was the moment that would forever cement the Beatles into being a part of the American soundtrack.
Obviously, rock and roll was already brewing, and in fact, began in the United States. Hillbilly songs, blues, African-American music going way back to the plantations, and of course Elvis had introduced all of that and rock and roll to a mainstream audience. But the American rock and roll then goes across the Atlantic for a little cultural laundering, and then it comes back in the form of the British invasion. The Beatles, the Stones, the Who, the Kinks.
Girl, you really got me going. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing.
And what you have is this homegrown American music genre that somehow gets a certain credibility from the Brits, an incredibly important step in the emerging new music that would become rock and roll.
Now, in the weeks leading up to the performance, several Beatles records had already hit number one on the US charts, and the radio airwaves were saturated with their tunes. The delirium and groundswell of anticipation surrounding the Beatles' arrival from England had not been seen around since Elvis Presley on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1956. But even that experience could not have prepared the Sullivan staff and the New York City authorities for what was about to happen. Now, there are a number of stories regarding exactly how the Beatles came to appear on the Ed Sullivan Show.
The official version of how Ed Sullivan learned about the Beatles begins on October 31st, 1963. On that day, Sullivan and his wife were at London Airport. It was an unusually busy day at the airport, with the Prime Minister due to fly out and contestants for the Miss World contest, being held that year in London, arriving. Although the city was experiencing a heavy rainstorm, that day more than 1,500 youngsters lined the rooftop gardens of the Queen's Building and others congregated on the ground. Sullivan asked what all the commotion was about and was informed that it was for the Beatles, who were returning from a tour of Sweden. He replied, "Who the hell are the Beatles?" Although Sullivan would later claim that the incident caused him to immediately inquire into booking the Beatles on his show, the true story is a bit more involved.
Jack Babb, who was the talent coordinator for The Sullivan Show, spent his summers in Europe checking out potential acts for the program. During the summer of 1963, Babb saw the Beatles on at least one occasion. Although the Beatles were developing a following on the British concert circuit and had two number one singles and a chart-topping album, the group had yet to become part of the national consciousness. Because no British pop act had ever achieved prolonged success in America, Babb didn't give consideration to booking the Beatles on The Sullivan Show.
But it was after their television appearance on Val Parnell's Sunday Night at the London Palladium, which was televised throughout the UK during primetime Sunday evening, that everything changed. It was seen by more than 15 million people. The bedlam caused by the group, both inside and outside the theatre, caught the attention of British news editors, who elevated the Beatles from a successful entertainment act to a national news phenomenon. The Daily Mirror described the history as Beatlemania. The term stuck.
But despite their passion for reaching as wide an audience as possible, the sheer volume of the Beatles fans was making their music impossible to hear.
By the summer of 63, people never heard the Beatles play it properly again. It's a shame that that aspect of them being so brilliant on stage, they got lost.
Do you deliberately try and create these sort of screaming reactions?
No, we just, you know, arrive at the theatre and they're always there waiting. And whenever we're doing a show, the police always come and say, don't look out the window, you know, because you excite them.
The initial meeting was apparently attended only by Epstein and Sullivan. They tentatively agreed that the Beatles would appear on Sullivan's February 9th, 1964 show, live from New York, and then the following week on a special remote show broadcast live from the Deauville Hotel in Miami Beach. Although Sullivan paid up to $10,000 for a single performance, he offered Brian $3,500 for each show. He agreed to pay the group's transportation and lodging. Realizing the importance of having his boys on The Sullivan Show, Brian agreed to the deal provided the Beatles received top billing. As was often the case with Epstein's negotiations, the deal was then sealed with a handshake. The decision had been made.
For nearly a month after booking the Beatles, Sullivan probably gave little, if any, additional thought to the British act. But that changed on December 10th, 1963, when he saw a four-minute story on the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Yeah. Those are the Beatles, those are. And this is Beatleland, formerly known as Britain, where an epidemic called Beatlemania has seized the teenage population, especially female. Some of the girls can write, and they belong to the Beatle fan club.
The Beatles sound like insect life, but it's spelled B-E-A-T, beat. And these four boys from Liverpool with their dish mop hairstyles are Britain's latest musical and, in fact, sociological phenomenon. They have introduced what their press agents call the Mersey sound, after the River Mersey on which Liverpool stands. And though musicologists say it is no different than any other rock and roll, except maybe louder, it has carried the Beatles to the top of the heap. In fact, they have met royalty, and royalty is appreciative and impressed. Wherever the Beatles go, they are pursued by hordes of screaming, swinging juveniles. They and their press agents have to think up all sorts of ways to evade their adoring fans. Thousands of teenagers in every city and town stand in line all night to get tickets for their touring show. Girls faint when the tickets run out. The other night, the Beatles played Bournemouth, the South Coast family resort, and Bournemouth will never be the same.
Shortly after the program ended, Sullivan called Cronkite to ask him what he knew about those bugs, or whatever they called themselves. His inability to remember the group's name was typical Sullivan. Those bugs were still virtually unknown in America, but Sullivan sensed that that was about to change. After all, if Cronkite deemed the Beatles newsworthy, America would soon catch on. 3 days later, CBS issued a press release announcing that the Beatles' wildly popular quartet of English recording stars will make their first trip to the United States February 7th for their American television debut on The Ed Sullivan Show, Sunday, February 9th and 16th.
Sullivan would tell the New York Times, "I made up my mind that this was the same sort of mass hit hysteria that had characterized the Elvis Presley days." And what hysteria it was. When we return, the Beatles in America? Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Harry Ini Dalam Sejarah Dunia on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah Dunia on the evening edition with Uma, Richard and Arlene, our monthly program that takes you back a day in the life. Today, we're taking a look back at the day that changed everything in rock and roll. On the 9th of February, 1964, the Beatles made their first appearance on an American stage on The Ed Sullivan Show.
Prior to their debut on The Sullivan Show, the Beatles' record, I Wanna Hold Your Hand, was leaked in advance of its planned US release to radio stations across the country. When attorneys for Capitol Records were unable to stop American DJs from spinning the tune, the record label relented, and on December 26, 1963, dropped the album ahead of schedule. The record sold 250,000 copies in the first 3 days. By January 10, 1964, it sold over 1 million units, and I Wanna Hold Your Hand was the number one song on the Billboard chart by month's end. In the weeks leading up to the Beatles' performance on The Ed Sullivan Show, Beatlemania went viral. Radio stations played the band's music nearly non-stop, teenage fans sported Beatles wigs, and bumper stickers across the country warned, "The Beatles are coming."
But we must remember that there was also historical context to America's sudden hysteria for the Beatles.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
Kennedy's assassination 10 weeks earlier had left a gloom on the land. Together, the two events created a dividing line between then and now. Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate, said in a recent speech, "A lot of people don't understand why Sullivan was a seminal moment in the history of America, and for that matter, the history of the world. The country had just gone through a very painful time of mourning. There was an extraordinary amount of despair, heartbreak, disappointment." He continued, "I think people forget that we were still grieving as a nation. The Beatles brought something to America more than music. They brought hope."
The Beatles touched down at New York's Kennedy Airport, renamed just weeks earlier for the fallen president, on February 7, 1964. They were met by a throng of reporters and a horde of 3,000 screaming fans. "It began with shrieks, sirens and total panic," wrote Gail Cameron in Live magazine. Newsweek scoffed, "Visually they are a nightmare. Tight, dandified, Edwardian beatnik suits and great pudding balls of hair," the magazine wrote. The hair, to a post-war world used to crew cuts and short back and sides, was novel. Reporters asked to touch it. Fan clubs gave away snippets like pieces of the one true cross.
But the screams. They'd screamed before for Liszt, for Sinatra, for Elvis, and they would scream again. But they had never screamed like this. The scene at JFK, the crowds around New York's Plaza Hotel, the jet engine squeals inside CBS Studio 50 for the debut appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show, they were literally unheard of. Upon disembarking from the plane, the Beatles were whisked to a press conference hosted by Capitol Records, in which they playfully answered questions from the media.
"Could you please sing something?"
"No! Sorry.
Next question.
No, we need money first."
When asked, "How did you find America?" Ringo Starr jokingly replied, "Turn left at Greenland."
While the Beatles spent the next 2 days cooped up at the Plaza Hotel, fans did all they could to get closer to the band. Groups of teenagers set up camp outside the plaza, some even posing as hotel guests in an attempt to see their favourite group. As the show approached, over 50,000 requests for seats came into CBS. However, the Ed Sullivan Show, which originated from CBS's TV Studio 50, could only accommodate an audience of 700. For weeks, celebrities were calling in to get tickets for their kids. Walter Cronkite and Jack Parr scored seats for their girls. Composer Leonard Bernstein tried but failed, while Richard Nixon's 15-year-old daughter Julie became one of the lucky few to get a seat. Even Sullivan himself had trouble getting extra tickets. On his show the week before the Beatles' debut, Ed asked his audience, coincidentally, "If anyone has a ticket for the Beatles, our show next Sunday, could I please borrow it? We need it very badly." Up next, the big day itself, February 9th, 1964. Stay tuned. Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah Dunia, BFM 89.9. And we're back. You're listening to Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah Dunia on the evening edition with Richard, Arlene and Uma, our monthly program that takes you back through history. Today, the Beatles in America.
At 8 o'clock on February 9th, 1964, America tuned into CBS and The Ed Sullivan Show.
And now, here he is, Ed Sullivan.
Thank you very much.
But this night was different. 73 million people gathered in front of their TV sets to see the Beatles' first live performance on US soil. The television rating was a record-setting 45.3, meaning that 45.3 of households with televisions were watching. That figure reflected a total of 23,240,000 American homes. The show garnered a 60 share, meaning 60% of the televisions tuned on were tuned into Ed Sullivan and the Beatles.
The excitement began shortly after 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ed opened the show by briefly mentioning a congratulatory telegram to the Beatles from Elvis and his manager, Colonel Tom Parker.
You know, something very nice happened, and the Beatles got a great kick out of it. Just received a wire, they did, from Elvis Presley and Colonel Tom Parker, wishing them a tremendous success in our country. I think that was very, very nice.
And then through to advertisements for AeroShave and Griffin Shoe Polish.
Try new AeroShave with the ingredient that's as soft as rainwater. Keeps on softening and softening and softening and softening.
Yours is much easier than mine.
What happens when kids shine their mother's shoes?
Look at your dress.
Griffin, with its new applicator, is the neatest and easiest way you can polish shoes.
Sure is.
After the brief commercial interruption, Ed began his memorable introduction.
Now, yesterday and today, our theatre has been jammed with newspaper men and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation. And these veterans agreed with me.
Now, yesterday and today, our theatre has been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation. And these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now and again in the second half of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Sullivan's last words were drowned out by the screaming young girls in attendance at CBS Studio 50. After Paul McCartney's Count In, the group opened with one of the more popular tracks from their Capitol album, All My Loving.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. I'll pretend that I'm kissing the lips I am missing and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send.
It was an energetic performance that showed the Beatles had total command of the situation. The girls yelled and bounced in their seats for the entire song. Upon its completion, the crowd screamed even louder and wildly applauded as the group bowed in unison.
Paul took the spotlight again on Till There Was You, a lovely ballad from The Music Man that even the adults in the audience could appreciate. Although the girls were quiet at first, the screaming resumed early on with one youngster shouting Ringo, as George Harrison took a solo on his Gretsch Country Gentleman guitar.
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you. sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all till there was you. Then there was music, wonderful roses. They tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you. Tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you.
During the song, the camera focused on each member of the group with his first name superimposed on the screen. When it came time for John Lennon, Sorry Girls, He's Married appeared below his name. The Beatles then wrapped up the first set with She Loves You and the show went to commercial.
She told me what to say, yeah. She said she loved you.
Upon return, magician Fred Capps took the stage to perform a set of sleight of hand tricks. Concerned that the Beatles' shrieking fans would steal attention from the other acts that evening, Ed Sullivan admonished his audience, "If you don't keep quiet, I'm going to send for a barber." 35 minutes later, Sullivan introduced the group's second segment with a simple, "Ladies and gentlemen, once again." The Beatles then played boot-tapping versions of both sides of their capital single, "I Saw Her Standing There," and the number one hit, "I Want to Hold Your Hand."
Introducing the Beatles again, may I point out that they'll be on our show, as I told our audience, for the next two Sundays. Next Sunday from Deauville Hotel in the Miami Beach show, starring Hollywood's exciting Missy Gaynor. But ladies and gentlemen, once again.
During these songs, as well as the earlier performances, the cameraman did a superb job of capturing the Beatles and the excitement of the event, despite being unable to hear the director's instructions through their headphones over the screaming girls.
The show was a huge television success. As hard as it is to imagine, over 40% of every man, woman and child living in America had watched The Beatles on Sullivan. A week later, the February 24th issue of Newsweek magazine's cover featured a picture of The Beatles with the title Bugs About Beatles. Inside, the review of The Beatles' debut on The Ed Sullivan Show began, "Visually, they are a nightmare. Tight, dandified, Edwardian beatnik suits and great pudding bowls of hair. Musically, they are a near disaster. Guitars and drums slamming out a merciless beat that does away with secondary rhythms, harmony and melody. Their lyrics, punctuated by nutty shouts of yeah, 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 are a catastrophe. A preposterous farrago of Valentine card romantic sentiments." The article ended with the following prediction: "The odds are they will fade away as most adults confidently predict." So much for adult odds makers.
In a week, the Beatles' second appearance on February 16, 1964, was broadcast from the Deauville Hotel in Miami Beach, Florida.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, live from Miami Beach, the Ed Sullivan Show.
And then the Beatles' third and, according to their contract, final performance on the Ed Sullivan Show was technically their first. The show was taped prior to their live February 9th debut, but saved for broadcast until February 23rd, 1964. On this show, the Beatles sang Twist and Shout, Please Please Me, and I Want to Hold Your Hand. Other guests that night included stand-up comedian Dave Barry, Gordon and Sheila McRae, and the legendary American jazz singer Cab Calloway.
On September 12, 1965, the Fab Four returned to the Ed Sullivan stage one last time. They played I Feel Fine, I'm Down, Act Naturally, Ticket to Ride, Yesterday, and Help. This performance was taped in New York on August 14, 1965, just one day before the Beatles kicked off their North American tour, with a concert at Shea Stadium that set the attendance record for an outdoor show at the time. The final appearance of the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, like those in February 1964, aired in black and white. However, at the end of the evening, Sullivan broke the news that the following week, his show would start broadcasting in colour. So the Beatles were just a week from having their performance captured and preserved forever in colour. popular.
These four historic Beatles performances on the Ed Sullivan Show featured 20 Beatles songs, seven of which became number one hits. Cumulatively, the four shows attracted an audience of a quarter of a billion people. In terms of percentage of America's population, the first two shows remain the highest viewed regularly scheduled television programs of all time. Now, the Beatles would have happened anyway. They were inevitable. All of those screaming fans at the theatre that night already knew who they were. They were a more powerful cultural force than anything at the time. But that being said, Ed Sullivan was the catalyst. His stage was the accelerant that the Beatles needed, shooting them into the American consciousness.
The genius of the Beatles and the American institution that was the Ed Sullivan Show combined to create one of the most defining and indelible moments in the history of music, television, and pop culture. It was a remarkable convergence that came at a special time in America, making an impact on the world that will likely never be duplicated.
This has been Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah Dunia. Yeah, yeah, yeah. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.